welcome to the Collide podcast. I hope you are having a great day. I know that there is just opportunity for divine moments in the ordinary, and I hope this podcast episode will be that for you. I absolutely believe that God is alive and well. He cares about you. He cares about where you are. He cares about what you're doing. He cares about what you care about. And he wants to meet you where you're at. And our hope really with this podcast is that you would hop on and that you would experience him, that you would collide with him and leave in just a bit of a more healed way. Maybe you would experience his healing or his hope or his goodness or his purpose. And today's episode, I hope that you leave it more brave. I just interviewed Kristen Than. She's a licensed mental health therapist. She's a trained EMDR practitioner. She specializes in trauma work with women, teens, and children. And I know her personally. She's just fun. She's wise. She has so much to offer. And she just recently taught a class that was so loved that we were like, let's have her on the podcast to talk about the things that get in the way of stepping into our bravery. So we spent so much time talking about core beliefs that you and I picked up without even knowing we were picking them up and we're living out of them. And those negative core beliefs are teaching us to operate by fear. So friend, I'm going to pass this off to you. I hope that you gain bravery from it. Kristen, it's so good to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Willow. So good to be here.
Well, you're in a crazy season, too. Just offline, you mentioned your son's graduating from high school.
Yes. Holy cow. I know. I think I'm in denial. I think that's what's happening right now is I'm just in denial. It's just another regular end of the school year.
Oh my gosh. Except for that you have like 100 things that you have to do and be at. At the announcements. I feel like it's all the lasts as well. There's so many things where you're like, and next thing you know, you're like, this is the last time I'm gonna, and it's all these really like simple things.
Oh, last Monday, last Tuesday, last Wednesday. It's all the things.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. So you're in denial. You're super busy. Are you crying a lot? I found myself pretty emotional.
I only had one day where I thought it might happen. And then I was like, no, I'm going to actually just go back to denial land and be okay there for a while. I think I am trying to like treasure and savor every moment till he leaves. So I don't want that. Like, I don't want the emotions to like get in the way, says the therapist. I think that I'm just, it will probably sink in when it gets closer.
Yeah. Well, both my kids have graduated now. And I found with the first one, I did a lot of pre-grieving. Like I almost like did that whole like look in your rearview mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. And I was like, I went to a therapist. I was like, I'm going to grieve well. I was just like preparing myself. And then when Bella went to leave, I was like, I've got this. I know how this works. Like, and so I did a lot of what you're talking about where I was sort of like, I'm just going to like live in the moment, not really going to deal with the emotional side of this. And then it kind of, I did some post-grieving stuff after she left. So some of us seem like we're pre-grievers. Some of us are post-grievers. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of us just like to live in denial.
Well, I thank you in the midst of this that you're hopping on this podcast. You just taught a class at our headquarters, and it was a stepping out in bravery class that was a follow-up to the conference that we did, Braver Than You Know, where we really called hundreds of women to say yes to being brave for other people. And it was a powerful night. And I hear that the class that you taught was extremely powerful. And so Kim, who leads scheduling the podcast, said, we should get Kristen on the podcast. This is going to bless the listeners. So here we are. Thank you so much for making time in the middle of your busy season to share a bit about how we can step out in bravery.
Absolutely. Yeah. So glad to be here. It was such a fun night. I love doing those classes because you get a pretty small, intimate group of women who are just really eager and excited to learn and interactive. And so I love doing it.
Well, don't tell me that because we'll call you all the time. Kristen, you came into this class and really taught on like, here are some things that get in the way of us stepping out in bravery. And when I think about the women in our midst who they long to do brave things, bold things, good things, hard things and right things. All of those take bravery. And there's so many reasons why we talk ourselves out of being brave. I think a lot of times we wait to feel brave. And part of bravery is doing things scared.
Yeah.
And so when you taught this class, can you invite us into what are some of the things that get in the way and invite us into to what they are so we can stare them straighten the eyes and beat them down?
Yeah. You know, the one thing, obviously, that sort of I think about is kind of the opposite of bravery is that idea of fear, right? The what ifs, the unknowns, the fear of failure, the fear of what if I learn about myself something that I always feared is actually true. It's all the things, right? Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, in my work with people, oftentimes, that's kind of what we do is we sort of delve into looking at where those fears come from. And oftentimes, they're rooted in experiences, traumatic events, life transitions that end up becoming kind of a core belief about ourselves. And so when I was teaching the class, I really wanted people to identify what are some of those negative core beliefs that impact the decisions we make or our ability to kind of live with some sense of bravery or freedom and moving forward. So it's really looking at what creates those places of fear inside of us and the beliefs and narrative we have about who we are in this world.
I love that you're inviting us to go backwards and really recognize where we picked up these core beliefs that are informing us to be afraid instead of be brave. I'm curious, what are some questions or exercises or tools, I don't know, where you take people backwards to recognize where they pick those up and what the core beliefs are?
Yeah. So one thing that I often do to help start out with what those core beliefs are is really ask people, when you're going through something challenging, tricky, hard, what's your self-talk? What are you saying to yourself? Like, I'm going to fail. This is too hard. I don't do hard things. I can't do hard things. I'm going to get hurt. I'm not in control here. And that's not safe. All the things is identify what some of the self-talk is and your narratives. And then asking them questions like, when have you felt that way before? Where'd you pick that up? Whose voice is that? Where did that come from? And really, what's the evidence you have for that? And I think that gets people to start going, oh, I know where that voice came from. I know some other times I've really felt that. I can tell you the evidence for that because I have failed in this way. Or when I wasn't in control, I felt this way. I was unable to move forward, all the things. So that's kind of where we start with that.
Which is such powerful awareness. I mean, you're talking about something that sounds so simplistic, but as you're explaining this, I'm literally thinking I must have spent the first 25 years of my life not even realizing I had self-talk going on. Yeah. Like, I don't think I knew that there were voices that were informing me on how to be, what to do, what to think, what not to do, how not to take risks. So the idea of inviting people to begin to recognize their self-talk, if they've never done that before, how can they begin to pay attention to it?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So just sort of when you're in that position of difficulty or making a decision or walking through life, sort of pausing and going, how am I feeling right now? What is going on in my head? What am I believing in this moment about myself in this position that I'm in? What's the narrative I have in moving forward? What's going on inside my head right now? What do I believe to be true if I do this? Then what happens? And we start to kind of slow down and think through what we might be saying to ourselves. I think for so many people, it's automatic. It just happens. Mm-hmm. But we've all got it. We've all got this internal dialogue happening all the time. So it's slowing down and connecting to, wait, how did that just feel when I had that conversation with someone? And what is it that I'm believing about myself in this moment when I interact with someone? Begins to kind of identify the way we really think about ourselves and then what we say to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy that you can have this sort of like, I remember a mentor. So of course she used cassette tape because it was from her era, but
yeah.
Now it would be, I don't know, an iTunes, you know, right. A song on a playlist. And yeah. It's just playing over and over and over again in your head. And you might not even know it's screaming at you all day long. So the work of paying attention to your self-talk is ginormous in your healing process. You mentioned just kind of flippantly, but I found this to be a powerful question that I even ask women or have used when I speak or write Bible studies. And you said it too, which is, whose voice is that? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it seems like women don't even realize, and they're hearing the voice of their ex-husband or the voice of a demeaning boss or the voice of a constantly disappointed critical father or whatever it is. And they don't even know that that's the voice that's still bossing them around, telling them how to live their lives.
Yeah.
So how do they make that connection between, oh, I'm telling myself, let's say a woman wants to be brave and she finally starts to pay attention to her self-talk and she realizes she's telling herself, you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. You're not good enough. How does she connect whose voice that is to a past experience so that she can locate that? And why is that important?
Yeah, good question. It's funny because when I ask people that question, when they're talking and I just kind of go, whose voice is that? It's like the look in their eyes. It's almost like, they can almost go right there, believe it or not. It's just kind of like, it's this idea of that actually isn't even my voice. When did I start believing that about myself? Or questions like, when are some other times you have felt that way? And most people can point to several times going, I'll never forget, you know, sitting there and having my dad tell me like, the things that I'm now believing about myself, were the constant fights I had with my ex-husband where I was hearing I wasn't enough. And that's, it just became a part of who I was. If they believed it about me, it must be true. So it's surprisingly, I have found really interesting to watch people kind of like the light bulb moment of, yeah, wait a second. Good question. Like, where did that come from? That's not my voice. It has become my voice. I'm living as though the past is now my present. I haven't been able to sort through that. And so kind of going back and going, okay, let's talk about that. Let's unpack that.
It's an interesting thing because it's almost like we're picking up the weapons that hurt us and we're beating ourselves up with them. I mean, it's like we're letting people's voices who were hurtful still have power over our lives because we're repeating the same thing that they spoke to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a literal thing they spoke to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was an experience or a way that they made us feel.
Right.
I think so many times, I mean, as you're talking, I thought of so many people, but I remember this woman, she came to a Collide event, and I think it was called Birds and Lilies, and we're looking at what Jesus says about worry, and we had this plan, because he says, look at the birds of the air, and then look at the lilies, and so we taught this whole idea of like, you know, if God values the lilies, how much more does he value you? And at the end of this night, I think it was like we had 900 women and we were just doing this simple thing. And we got these little, like we stuffed 900 little mini vases with little lilies and they had little tags and we invited women up and each one came up. We had these lines and we just spoke value over these women. And we said, God values you. And just that like simple statement, like women are just weeping, they're just falling apart like they need to hear it. But there was this woman To this day, I heard about this story, like, I don't know, a year later or something. She had just been at the park or something with her husband, who'd been, I think, pretty emotionally and verbally abusive. And he told her at this park, like, you're garbage, you're nothing, you'll never amount to anything, like, you'll never be anything of value or something like that. And she went from that experience, drove to her first Collide experience, and then got this flower. And just a woman hearing a different voice than the wounding voice that she was so used to was like a light bulb turned on.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you, like, when a woman does this work that you're inviting her to do, to recognize these core beliefs, and she sees that they're kind of nasty and they're harming her life, what is she supposed to do to replace those beliefs so that they no longer hold power over her?
Yeah. Well, part of that work is understanding where they came from, right? And how they became a part of her. And also the second part of that is identifying what's a more adaptive, what's a more helpful, truthful, what do you imagine God would want you to believe about yourself? We can use scripture to back that up. We can use, what would you tell your best friend? What would you tell your daughter about that? So, because people can so readily go, oh no, you have a ton of value. I can see how brave you are. And I can see all these wonderful things, but we have a hard time turning that in and believing that about ourselves. So sometimes I invite, you know, a best friend into the room metaphorically and say, I want you to look at your best friend and or your daughter, and I want you to have that conversation with her. Or I want you to bring your 10-year-old self in here that picked that up from your dad, and I want you to have that conversation, and I want you to set it straight with her. I want you to identify what's more truthful, more adaptive, more helpful, more what God has said is true about you. And I want you to have that conversation with her, and I'll help you along the way if you need it. But I'm just here to witness this, because that's doing some of that repair work. Another exercise is, I want you to look at the ways in which what you want to believe about yourself, what we know is more truthful. When have you had an experience where maybe that's been solidified in you? Find evidence for that. And oftentimes people really can go back and go, well, you know, like, I was really brave when I did this. I felt so valuable when I was doing blank. And it's like, okay, let's pick up on that evidence and let's talk more about that. Tell me about where you found that truth and how you lived that out. And it's sort of resourcing and encouraging and instilling those positive experiences as, you've had a taste of that. You know that to be true. How do we continue to live from that place?
Can you give us an example of someone that you walked a process with? I know you can't give us details about your clients. Yeah. I don't mean that, but like an example of a woman and how it helps her to identify positive core beliefs. And then that reminds her of what is true about her and how she lived that out.
Yeah. So I guess I'm thinking of a woman that I have worked with in the past that had an extremely abusive father. But had a really positive experience, like with an older brother in the home, that he really kind of took care of her, looked out for her, those kind of things. And so it's almost like, we can identify like the bad stuff, right? Tell me all the times that felt traumatic. Tell me the times you can remember where you felt worthless and you believed that about yourself. We can do that work. We can also do the other side of, tell me about those times, right? And it's like, oh, my brother showed up for me all the time. He was my protector. He told me, girl, you're going to make it. Like, you are something. Don't listen to those words. Okay. Well, when that example happened, how did you feel? Oh, I felt loved. I felt strong. I felt powerful. It's like, see how that feels in your body now? That's what we want. That's what's true in those moments. And for you moving forward, how do we continue to build those experiences?
When you you obviously do this for a living. You help people do this. But there are times where we have to learn to do this for ourselves.
Right.
As women, we have diverse stories, experiences, and backgrounds, but we all share the universal experience of pain. We all have baggage, grief, fear, insecurities, disappointment, and unmet dreams. At Collide, we aren't afraid of the mess and pain that life inevitably brings. In fact, we enter into pain because we are certain that God does too. The Counseling Bundle online course will meet you right where you are with practical tools to help you find healing and hope. This course features 12 sessions of video content from licensed mental health counselors, a registered dietitian, and a calling and career coach. With over 7 hours of instruction that cover a wide range of topics, you'll receive expert advice from therapists who specialize in what you're working through. You'll also receive a printed workbook with space for taking notes, as well as helpful worksheets, guided reflection questions, and goal-setting tools to help you on your journey toward health and wholeness. A healthy life and spirituality is possible, and these sessions with therapists will help you take actual steps toward the life you desire. We believe that everyone deserves access to authentic healing and practical resources, which is why we're offering all of this for just $99, the price of what one therapy session would normally cost. Don't wait any longer to take that first step toward your healing journey. Check out our counseling bundle today. Visit our website at wecollide.net/counseling bundle to learn more and enroll now. Our link is in the show notes.
You obviously do this for a living. You help people do this. But there are times where we have to learn to do this for ourselves or to do it for others. I mean, I just had an experience a few weeks ago and my husband did it for me. He reminded me that I'm not the little girl Willow who had certain things happen to her, and I don't have to react out of the assumption that bad things are going to happen to me. And of course, when he reflected this back to me, I started crying. But I'm curious, how can we begin to do some of this work for ourselves on a daily basis when we're at work, when we're having to do something brave in a moment, when we're at home, when we're, I don't know, applying for a job or doing something that requires bravery? How can we remind ourselves of core beliefs so that we don't operate out of fear?
Yeah, good question. So I suppose it kind of goes back to the idea of recognize when we're in that moment, what is it we're feeling? What is it we're telling ourselves right now? And then check that against the truth of what we know God says about us and the truth of what it is that we desire to believe about ourselves, what it is we would tell a friend in the same situation. Those kind of exercises of how do I move forward in the way that really identifies those positive pieces of myself and not getting stuck in that fearful place. But I think first we have to recognize what our tendencies are. Like you used a great example of the little girl Willow, right? Is the one thing I love about therapy is getting to identify all those parts of us, right? That little girl still lives inside of you. And she still longs to speak up at times. She still gets poked by things at times, right? And so knowing that about yourself is wonderful. The fact that your husband knows that about you in those situations is wonderful and can remind you, like, you've got this, Willow. The past is no longer your present, and you can let that little girl go play like she should instead of sort of worrying that something bad is going to happen because the adult version of you's got this.
I think the key piece that would be missing in this work is if you haven't done any work around gaining some new positive core beliefs, right? Like I think I didn't know that all those years when I first became a Christian and all the years since where I've spent time in the Lord's Word, now that's just like this purse almost that I carry with me every day, and I can reach my hand in it and I can grab a truth and I can speak it to myself. But it's really hard to begin to speak positive truths back at yourself if you have nowhere that you're drawing them from.
Yeah.
So how important is that? And what are some ways that we can sort of like add to that purse, if you will, or tool belt, whatever illustration you want to use, so that you actually have something to say back to yourself?
Yeah, good question. So when I taught this class, I kind of gave a list of verses that are sort of my go-to verses, right? About being fearfully and wonderfully made, God looking on creation and saying, this is good, right? All the anti-shame verses that help us to see that we have value and meaning and worth, God singing over his people, right? But if we don't have a lot of experience in that, then, and I've seen this show up in my office where people go, I couldn't tell you any examples of any of these positive core beliefs. I couldn't tell you a time that I felt worthy. I couldn't tell you a time I felt capable. And so then we have to start really small and go, you got yourself here. Tell me about that. Well, I, you know, felt like I should probably, there's a part of you that really does value yourself and knows you deserve this space, right? We're going to work with that. Or you're a mom. You have love for others, and you wake up every morning to anticipate caring for other people. Gosh, your heart has capacity more than you thought you did. It's those, and sometimes you have to start really small because you're right. I think a lot of people go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there's always something, right? There's always value you can find in something, or there's always something you can pull. And for people maybe who aren't in therapy and wanting to kind of look at that themselves, start to break apart your roles. Who are you? Are you a wife? Are you a sister? Are you a friend? Are you an employee? And do you show up every day? Who do you show up for every day? Who is there anyone that shows up or has shown up for you? And if they have, what have they spoken to you that you want to take with you? Or what is true about the different relationships in your life that do work? And how are you a part of that? So sometimes you have to start really small. If there's nothing that we can go, oh yeah, well, I'm a CEO, so I've got that, mm-hmm. right? It could be something very small, but actually in God's eyes is quite huge. And we build on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I just sat actually this afternoon with a woman who has been trafficked most of her life, and she fled for safety and is walking through a program to get help. And she was trafficked in great part actually through a church, and she came to her first Collide and she told me about what that was like, and I just was like, because I think in so many ways, she feels like there's so much that needs to take place in her life to feel like she's in a good place. But I'm like, can we just stop and celebrate the fact that you stepped out in bravery and stepped foot into a place that a Christian space had been hurtful, and you trusted again and you're brave.
Yeah.
That maybe you'd experience a different outcome. That's so brave.
Yeah.
Like, I love that you're helping us do this work. Kristen, what role does faith play in overcoming fear and stepping into bravery?
We talked a little bit about the idea of having, like you said, it's like a purse for you, right? Having those verses that, you know, kind of immersing ourselves in some of the truths about God, so that we can know that, and that can become part of us. But one thing I think to pay attention to is this idea of some of these beliefs that we hold about ourselves, we then sort of transfer onto God, right? I can't trust others. I can't trust God. I don't feel safe in this. What am I saying? I'm saying God has not got me in this. He will not provide for me, all the things. So it's really also looking at our view of God as our creator, as our father, as our sustainer. Like, what do we really believe he's capable of in this? Because you're right, like, we can be brave and we can step out, but there's this whole kind of unknown beyond that he has to fill in for us. And do we trust that he will show up for us in that way? What do we really believe about his character? So starting to really look at that, get a mentor who's a little further than you are in this process, right? Or, you know, keep going to Collide, keep colliding with other women who are colliding with Jesus around.
There's a lot of colliding going on around here, folks. Yeah,
so that you also can experience kind of that healthy, positive, right, feelings about God and knowing his character for what it is.
You know, it's interesting you bring this up because I can't tell you how many people, especially right now. I mean, there's been a mass exodus of people leaving the church because Christians in large part are being dumb and have been polarizing and divisive and all the things in the last however many years. And so there's just a lot of I hate Jesus. I don't like God. I don't want anything to do with him. And clearly there's a million reasons why people project their issues onto God. But how do you help a person? I can hear your dog in the background.
Yeah.
Your dog feels passionately about this projecting things onto Jesus that aren't Jesus's to carry. Your dog's like, yeah, amen. How do you help people sort out, hey, this core belief that you have about God was actually an experience you had with a terrible person who claimed to be like God?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's, do I need to take care of that dog?
No, it's all good. People here, they're listening. They have dogs and cats and like hamsters and goats and squirrels.
Yeah.
Deal squirrels, people. We're good. We're just chilling in your house with you, Kristen. Yeah. It's all good. Oh,
goodness. Yeah. Yeah. So again, there's a lot of, I think what you're speaking to is like church hurt. There's a lot of church hurt. And there's a lot of, I think people have gotten the wrong messages from other humans about who God is, and how he has created us to be and love each other. And so I think that is something that I think people do tend to continue to struggle with. So again, finding others in a community that is a safe community, whether that's a mentor, somebody who can just sit down and talk with you through some of those things, going back to scripture and seeing, you know, what does scripture say about how I'm loved and who I am in God's eyes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such important work because I think a huge part for those of us who can, when we hear people who are projecting negative core beliefs about God onto Jesus because of their experience with Christians, when we listen to the experience to just resonate and have compassion on, you are never supposed to be treated that way.
Yeah.
God's intention would never want to be that you'd be hurt. God would never want you to be trafficked in his name, like all of these things, right? Like there's an element that we're really in a place right now where we can help other people to recognize that the way that they were hurt and wounded was absolutely terrible and God would never have wanted that. And that they have every right to be angry and every right to be sad and every right to struggle. But that it wasn't actually Jesus. It might've been his people.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that work of sort of recognizing, where did you pick up these core beliefs where you hate church and God and replacing them just feels like some really good work that needs to be done.
Yeah. And I mean, the way you described it is what you're talking about is stepping into someone's story with them. Right? It's not trying to necessarily fix it initially or to, well, that wasn't, that shouldn't happen. It's really like, tell me more about it. You know, how can I support you in this? And just really stepping into their story and hearing them out and validating how that was not an okay experience for them to have gone through.
I want to to close up by asking you this, Kristen, because I think we can gain from it. You're a therapist, yes. You have so much to offer when it comes to our mental and emotional health, but you're also a Christ follower. And when God asks you to do something that requires bravery, and you find yourself picking back up those negative core beliefs that are talking you out of it, what do you do?
A lot of prayer, right? A lot of being really honest about what's happening with me, with close group of friends, and with God as well, is just, this is what's happening for me, right? Like, if I don't feel safe, or if I don't feel a sense of control over things, I really tend to struggle, right? Just based on things that have happened in my past and kind of how I'm wired. These are things that I really need to feel like allow me to move forward. And so when I can claim it and name it and know what it is, I can really ask for some support and intervention in going, what do I now need to let go of in this? How can I let go of this piece of control, God? And I'm going to give it to you because I trust you. Or how do I recognize that this feels scary and it's uncharted territory, but I know at the end of the day, like where my feet are planted, and I'm safe. I am safe and I'm going to be okay. Right. And so I do a lot of that kind of questioning my own beliefs and admitting to myself, what's going on for me? I ask myself that question all the time. What's going on for you right now? What's going on for you? Because something has shifted. I feel something. There's fear has just come up. What's going on? And when I can understand it, then I can begin to go, all right, this is how I'm going to sort of unravel that, replace that.
Mm-hmm. So good. When you think about women who are on the edge of having to do something brave and they are teetering back and forth between fear and faith, what's your advice for them today?
Do recognize what's within your control in this situation. And if it's within your control to take that step forward, give the rest of the control to God and take that step forward. And know that we have freedom to do that. We have freedom to do that. We don't have to fear the failure piece. We don't have to feel the unsafe piece. We get to give that piece to God, and we get to know what's within our control, which is, I've got an opportunity here. I've got a calling here, and I've got a nudging here. I'm going to take that step.
Well, Kristen, thank you for being brave and being on the podcast today.
Anytime. It was so neat to see you again.
I love spending time with you, and so does your puppy. So we're going to let you loose so you can go be with your pooch.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on. Friend, I'm so glad that you hopped on the podcast this week. If you aren't a subscriber, make sure that you subscribe on wherever you listen to podcasts. And this one will show up in your inbox there every single week. I would love to hang out with you. If you want to follow along more with what Collide is up to, you can check us out on our website at wecollide.net. And we have so many resources for you if you want to continue to grow in your faith, keep colliding with Jesus, if you want to heal further, if you want to be reminded of what is true about you. Check out the Bible study books that I've written. There are so many that you can grab a hold of that will seriously speak truth into those negative core beliefs. But I have a few that Kristen passed on to me, a list, and I'm going to spend the next minute reading some of them over you. And you can tune out now if you don't want to, or you can sit and receive. If you're in your car, you can just listen. If you're on your couch, you can hold your palms open with your eyes closed to receive. If you're on the treadmill and it's been a hectic day and you just want to hear some truth spoken over you, I'm going to speak some of these over you. I can make mistakes and learn from them. With God, all things are possible. I can survive and thrive. I have handled and done hard things before. I do have choices. Mistakes that I have made are redeemable. God has a plan for me. I am loved by God. I am His kid. He calls me worthy. He says I matter, and I do. I can learn to trust God. I can decide who to trust in my life. I am wonderfully made. He created me for a purpose. Friend, grab hold of beautiful truths and let's ditch all the nasty, ugly lies. Keep colliding, and we'll catch you next week.